DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB. Welcome to The Rambling Rabbit. This is Happy KB. Here I am again, behind the microphone. It's because I'm a little lazy and I just haven't reached out to anybody to set up any interviews. So lucky you guys get to sit and hear me blabber and ramble and ramble and talk about a whole bunch of stuff that you probably or may not be interested in. But it's okay. We're going to just sit here and we're going to chit-chat and see what's up. So, gosh. I don't know about you guys, but lately where I'm living at, we've had quite the weather. For those of you who don't know, I live in Kansas. And right in Tornado Alley. Today we've had some interesting stuff. We had sirens going off, a tornado watch warning. We actually, about 20 minutes outside of where I live, was a place that got hit by a tornado. So we've got a lot of activity happening out here. I've had to stop doing some of my recording stuff that I've been working on today because the sirens are going off, and it's kind of hard to do some recordings when the sirens are super loud and wailing in my ears. So that's a fun. I don't know what everybody else's weather is like, but it's been really kind of interesting. I guess today that Nebraska and Iowa was also had some crazy tornadic activity. We do know that last week in Omaha, Nebraska, or around Omaha, Nebraska, there was massive tornado activity. In fact, there was a footage caught of a huge tornado. And all I can say is I've lived in Kansas for most of my life, and some of the weather that we're seeing is just kind of not like anything I've ever seen. So might call me a conspiracy theorist or think that I think a little too heavily in some other areas, but there's a lot of fuckery that's going around, and I just don't know. So, we've got some really crazy weather happening, and spring is when it's exciting in Kansas, because you just never know. You just never know. And, you know, like a true Kansan, I gave my kid, I called both my kids, making sure that they heard the sirens. And my one child, my oldest, my son, I told him, you know, he lives in an apartment and he's home by himself right now. His girlfriend is out of town. And I told him, I said, you know, if it gets nasty or whatever, you hear the warning, you get down to the lowest part of the building that you're in, because it was an apartment and he's up on the top floor. And he was like, yeah, Mom, yeah, I know. I've got it. I'm watching. I'm outside right now watching the skies. I thought, just like a true Kansan, as soon as we hear the sirens, we all step outside on our porches or our backyards just to see what's going on. crazy. That's going on in my parts of the world. Kansas has not, is not going to let us vote on medical marijuana in Kansas. It'll go back on, they'll go back in 2025 and, I don't know, try to figure out if they're going to let us vote again. I don't know. Kansas is so behind. We've got some old heads in our government. I don't know. I've talked about that before. And they just don't have a reason for some reason. They just don't, or the reasons that they have been given just are not good enough for them, which makes absolutely no sense to me. But we've got to give them a reason to want to do this. And chastising them isn't going to do it. Calling them names isn't going to do it. Showing them research isn't going to do it. You know, giving them examples isn't not going to do it. I don't know really what's going to do it, but we've got to find something. Something to change these people's minds, because I've got a son who suffers seizures, and we talk about it all the time, because I know that if my son could get covered with America medical marijuana, that these would help him. He smokes pot anyways, and when he starts getting strange feelings or gets in the twilight time is what they call it, and because he's aware when it starts happening, it doesn't happen a lot, he'll sit down and he'll smoke just a small bowl. We drive over to a place that's not far away from us, dispo, but I'd actually rather be growing my own and letting them smoke that. But, you know, that's out of the question because I live in Kansas. So, but my son needs to be on this medical marijuana card because I really believe it would help him. But, you know, again, like I said, I live in Kansas, so that's not something that's going to be in the near future. But just so you know, federally, it looks like they're trying to move the federal cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. Do you know that it's been sitting at Schedule 1 for 50 years? 50 years. And finally, we've gotten it moved to Schedule 3. Which, you know, it's still a legal status of sorts, but it's not, you know, it's not pressing to where it was. So, there's that. I was talking to somebody on the line the other day, and we were talking about legalities and all the stuff that's happening with weed being legal, and we were actually talking about the dispensaries and being careful what we're getting from our dispensaries. And I specifically stated that I am, especially at this point in time, I think the thing that is most important for all of us as consumers is that we start fighting for our independent right, our individual rights, not independent right, but our individual rights to these substances. Because, you know, it's one thing to be able, you know, the legal statuses or the decriminalization or the, you know, we've got states that have legalized, but we're seeing some interesting things in our news about, you know, you're seeing more and more people coming out against smoking pot or talking about the dangers of smoking pot, the psychosis aspects, the people who get this rare disease where it's not even a disease, but it's a health issue because of smoking. I don't know if it's actually, I personally don't know what causes it, but they believe that high potency, some of the high potency concentrates in our weed, because we've come so far in our cannabis industry that we're seeing some side effects. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but I'm trying to find that article online. I know. Boop, boop, shoo-doop. Some scary things going out there. I mean, I don't know. People are getting diagnosed with, what was this called? There it is. CHS. What is CHS? CHS is actually cannabinoid hypermesis syndrome. Kind of interesting. What it actually is, cannabinoid hypermesis syndrome is a condition in which a patient experiences clinical nausea, vomiting, and abdominal pain after using cannabis. This disorder is characterized by several years of preceding cannabis use, predating the onset of the illness. A clinical pattern of hypermesis, I'm probably not even saying it right, but whatever, every few weeks to a month, at which time that the patient is still using cannabis. And number three, resolution of the symptom after cessation of cannabis use, confirmed by a negative urine drug test. The almost pathognomonic aspect of the patient's presenting history is that their symptoms are relieved by hot baths or showers. The activity introduces the physiology, clinical manifestations, and management of cannabis hypermesis. So, this is a thing. They state it's a rare it's rare in people, but I do know that we have seen more and more and more of this popping up. In fact, Soph, who used to be with us, who is no longer with us in our community because he went on to other things, experiences this as well. And that was the first time we ever heard about it. And then another community member on the site not long ago, basically, I believe, is a victim of this terrible syndrome. So it's kind of crazy when you think about it. Cannabis is the one thing that I think I could put everything else away. I could stop smoking. I could stop everything. Cannabis is the one thing that I don't want to ever have to quit smoking. If I don't have to, it's the thing I think I love the most. if I had to quit it. I was very adamant, especially when I was younger. I had a friend that, when I lived in Chicago, I had this friend that was in Ottawa, Kansas, and I went to college with her. She's crazy. She's something else. She's fun. I loved her. But she had moved to Ottawa, and at this point in time, when we lived in Chicago, our brownstone had, like, the guy that owned it, like, they had foreclosed on it because he wasn't paying on it and all kinds of stuff. And so, like, we got this eviction notice and none of us knew it was happening. And it was one of those things where me and my roommate had to, like, make a decision. We were going to come home or we were going to look for another brownstone. And at that point in time, I was a little homesick. And I was ready to come back to Kansas. And I was missing the openness of Kansas. I was missing the stars. I would come back off and on, and I'd walk out into my mom and dad's front yard, and I would just stand there because there was so much space. I had befriended a guy named he liked the name Larry. I didn't particularly like the name Larry, so I would call him Lawrence. But anyways, he lived out in the suburbs. And so to go see Larry, I had to take the L train and two buses. And so it was quite kind of the jaunt. I didn't go visit him very often because I didn't particularly like the ride. It took a long time. I mean, it took longer than I really wanted to. And I didn't have a car in Chicago, so... Anyways, what I remember the most is when I would get to his house. There wasn't really like a front of the house. You didn't like enter the front. It was actually like the front door was kind of on the side of the house. So there's two entrances, the side of the house and then one in the back that went in, and then you could get to the basement that way. And so I can remember we're walking down the side of the house, and I remember I stopped, and I'm standing on the sidewalk, and I remember looking to my left, and there was his house. I could touch that, of course. I remember looking to my right, and there was his neighbor's house. And I can remember I was standing on the sidewalk, and I had my hand on my friend Larry's house, and had my hand on the neighbor's house, and like, literally could, I'm not very tall, guys, and my arm span is not that wide, and I could sit there and touch the house, touch both houses with both my hands at the same time. And I just thought, gosh, why are we all sitting on top of each other? So when I would come home to Kansas, like, I really, really appreciated the space that we had, how big our yards were, how far our neighbors were away from us, like things like that. You don't realize the stuff that you take for granted until it's actually gone. And the stars. So one thing I remember about Chicago the most is you never had a dark night. It was never night, like dark. It was always an orange sky because of all the lights. Like, it was, I just remember the first couple nights there, I had a hard time sleeping because I just couldn't get my room dark enough. We spent a lot of time at night, too, in Chicago because, well, you know, we were raving and we were partying and we worked during the day, so we were partying at night. And going grocery shopping. We always did that in the middle of the night because, well, nobody else was at that grocery store we went to in the middle of the night. But the sky was always orange. Now, I worked on the Spirit of Chicago, which if you've ever been to Chicago, you know what that is. But for those of you that don't know, there's a place called Navy Pier on Lake Michigan. And there are cruise ships. And the dinner cruise ship, the Spirit of Chicago, is where I worked. And when we'd get out far enough out on the water, it got dark enough you could see the stars. But that's the only place I could see the stars when I was in Chicago. And I didn't work the top deck very often, so I didn't get to see the stars as much. But it was pretty cool. I liked Chicago. Chicago was fun. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I got to experience it for a couple of years. But I got really homesick. I can remember when I would walk down to the pier, and I can remember standing there and looking at all the skyscrapers. And I remember looking at the top. Like, there was this, I can't remember what building it was, but it was an apartment. And it was closer down by the pier. And I can remember when I would be walking and I would sit there and I would look at this apartment. And it was tall. I remember it was a tall building. And I remember thinking to myself, like, one, I'd never want to live on the top floor of a tall apartment like that. And two, if there was a fire, if there was something and I had to get down, how? Like, how would I do that? Like, could I? Would I be able to? Freak me out. Things like that would freak me out when I lived in Chicago. Carrying my stuff up to those top floors. No way. It was hard enough to get my stuff up a brownstone, which was only three levels. But that was pretty hard. But I did. I remember I would stare at this apartment walking, and I would think to myself, why do we live on top of each other like this? Why do we stuff ourselves into these cities and then we insist upon living on top of each other and crammed into these areas? Like, why do we do this? What is the point? I got really sick really fast of just people. Started feeling kind of claustrophobic. We lived at off of Harrison and Racine over by the UIC pavilion. And, you know, we weren't stacked on top of each other, but there were times being in the city that I felt real claustrophobic. And so when I had the opportunity to come home, I did come home because I like the plains of Kansas. I like the Kansas skies. I like feeling like I'm at home when I'm in Kansas. So, you know, I don't really dig the laws out here, but it doesn't matter because, you know, I don't know any different. Everything's illegal here. So we still do things old school like we've always done. We still have to, you know, find our people, do our thing, look over our shoulder, jump when we hear the sirens. I firmly believe that I will never not do that. Even if things ever become completely, totally legal and I don't have to worry about anything, I will forever jump when I see the sirens or hear the sirens, even anything, because, well, you know, some may call us criminals for what we do because we break the law. It's perspective. Really, it's just all perspective. So, I don't know. I like living in Kansas. So, just so people know that I do enjoy living here. No, even with all the stupid laws, but people in Kansas are nice, and you just stay out of the eye of the legal system, you're perfectly fine. Now, I got some friends. Got a friend, really good friend, Prairie Drummer, who is trying to make our government understand and see why medical marijuana is important. Why these things need to be addressed and looked at for real, and not just be shut out because they deem it as whatever they deem it as. It just doesn't make any sense to me, especially with how many states we do have that are going legal on these things. I don't have to have it recreational. I just want it medical. I want it I want it to be available medically. Because, like I said, I got a kid who... suffers from this medical issue. That he didn't ask for. And suffers with. And the fact that he can't have this for medical purposes really does a number on me. Especially in my heart, because that's my kid. I get texts from him a lot, and talk about it. We talk about it. Because when he starts feeling symptoms coming on, he sends me texts because... he wants me to know things are going. Usually we end up talking because he wants to sit and talk. Because a lot of times that helps. But we do. We talk about if it was medically available for him. And that he would be a total candidate. He's we've even toyed with the idea. I've told him. I said, you know, we could do something and get you residence in Missouri. Because it's legal. Medically and recreational over there, but I don't know. It just is kind of disconcerting. Like, it's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that our government doesn't see any worth for this plant. This plant, of all plants. It doesn't matter. We'll go and make synthetics of all kinds of things. Our governor even signed in a bill, like, that would help the cancer patients with a THC pill. With a THC pill. Like a pill that has the components in it. But we can't get medical marijuana. She won't even fight for it. It blows my mind. It just blows my mind to the... max. So, and you know, part of it's because I'm a little close to it. You know, my kid smokes pot. My kid's always smoked pot. But what's really crazy is that now, you know, he was smoking pot when it's legally illegal. Now, when we know it is something that could benefit him, like we can't get it legal. And it just blows my mind. Kansas is a little backwards, but whatever. That won't stop us from doing what we're doing because, well, like I said, we really don't know any different. We only know different when we go to other places that, you know, dispensaries are and they're legal. And every time I go into a new dispensary, I think about it. And I always think about, you know, maybe one of these days we'll see it. Maybe one of these days we'll see it. But like I said, we've got Prairie Drummer on our side trying to make things happen and get things going. So, like, we're even having a hard time trying to get hemp in a good area. I mean, it's legal, but they're having a heck of a time, our farmers, trying to get our government working with that too. It's just, I don't know, it's so bizarre to me. So it's whatever. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to lose it a little there for you, but so with that being said, let's talk about this for a minute. If this is your first time tuning in to the Rambling Rabbit, welcome. We are a podcast for DMT World. And if you've never been to DMT World, I would like to invite you to DMT World. DMT World is a marvelous place. And here we go. The website is www.dmtworld.net. Like I said, if this is the first time you've been here with us experiencing the Rambling Rabbit podcast, I invite you to go and visit our website, because that's where you can find all of the others that are a part of what we're doing. So, it is April 30th, and I want to just let you guys know that DMT World, as of this month, has been around for 5 years. We've made it 5 years, friends. Can you believe that? I can't. I mean, I can, but I can't. Like, I can't believe it's been 5 years, and we've all been hanging out and doing this. I've known some of you people longer than I've known people in my real life. And I think that's pretty wild. So here's to everybody who's stuck around on DMT World. And here's to everybody who is new. And here's to everybody who has left and come back. I think that's amazing. I love getting on the site. And I love looking in the just to see like who's been on and everything. And I really enjoy seeing some of the old school names pop up that haven't been around for a while. And I often wonder what brought you back. But, you know, I do know that people come back here because, well, one, they know we're going to be here. Two, they know they're always welcome here. If you've not been banned from our site, but you've just left, you're always welcome to come back. No questions asked. Well, I won't ask any questions. I can't guarantee that the community won't ask you questions, but you're always welcome back. Like I've always said, you know, this community is not, this is communities for everybody. I just help maintain it. And I just help enforce the one rule that we have, which is no illegal sourcing. That means no buying or selling or trading anything that is deemed illegal by the federal government of the United States of America. The reason we abide by that is because we are in the United States of America, and I don't want my place shut down. The staff and I work really hard keeping this place afloat. And if you don't know, we do everything by hand. We upgrade by hand. We go and do all the stuff we do by hand, and it takes human energy to do that. Nobody gets paid, unfortunately, not yet. One of these days, hopefully, when we are a thriving business and got some stuff coming in, we can hopefully pay the staff. But the staff is dedicated because they want to do it. It's kind of a labor of love at this point in time for all of us. But make sure that when you see a staff member, thank them. Thank them for being here and helping keep it open and keep it going and keeping it safe, because I can't do this without them. That would be Ben, and that is Sater, and that is Donnie Brasco, and that is Pachinoy Roy, and Maka. I want to make sure I say it right. Makawi Maka. I love it. I love her name. These are the people that are running, helping me take care of the site and keeping things going. So that's great. If you're in our Discord, we have staff over there. And we have what are called community builders over there. And if I have to, every single time on my solos, or just praise the staff and the community builders, I will, because these people, bless their souls, they are on and they are working and they are maintaining. I'm hoping they have lots of fun while they're doing it, but they're always on, they're always working, they're always doing the thing, and I'm super appreciative of that. Again, in our community builders, we've got Eddie V, Mad Hatter, Potassium, Claptrap, Not a Real Redhead. We've got great people that really have stepped up and really are on the ball with the things that they're doing. So again, let me just say thanks, guys. I really appreciate all the stuff you guys do, the staff and the community builders. Thank you. So now, oh, I forgot what I was going to do. Oh, no, I didn't forget. So with that being said, that we are... We're all ran by hand. We all are people. There's no bots. There's no none of that stuff. Like other websites run off of bots, run off of algorithms, run off of those things. DMT World doesn't. We don't have all those little bells and whistles and all that stuff. Ours is just very basic. So how do we keep this maintained? Well, we do it by donations. People, we have several donors, Psychonaut donors on our site that help keep our lights on, and they have for a while. There's some of you have been doing it for 5 years, and I want to say thank you very much. Thank you for helping fund and keeping DMT World alive. Thank you for helping donate and making it to where I can do these helping, you know, doing these other things, doing the roundtable talks and stuff like that. That's what all this goes towards. It goes to upgrades. It goes to anything and everything that we're doing for DMT World. That's what this donating status is. So if you want to be a donor, I think it's donor. Oh, yeah, it's donor. You can easily become a donor. There are two tiers. There is one tiered, which is a merchant tier, which is $5. And then there is a psychonaut tier, which is $8. In the merchant tier, what that allows you to basically have access to the marketplace and put in items to sell. Because the only way that you're able to sell anything that's legal on the site is if you are a merchant, and then you can put in stuff in the marketplace and share it out that way. If you become an Psychonaut status donor for $8, what you get for $8 is you have access to the Psychonaut channels in the Discord. You are able to be a part of our roundtable talks. You're a part of any of the DW events that go on. There is a giveaway group on the site that is going to be active here shortly in a month or so. You have the ability to make groups. So, I mean, and then also if you are a donor, we will send you some stickers and our necklace that we provide to people who are Psychonaut donors. So, if you would like to become a Psychonaut donor and help us keeping the site running and going, you can go to our patreon.com /DMTWorld and you can sign up there. And it would be helpful. I always appreciate anybody and everybody who has signed up, and thank you from the bottom of my heart. So, with that also being said, I said that a lot, don't I? With that being said, maybe I need to find a different wording. Maybe I need to find something different to say. Well, I'll figure that out later. So I've been working on some new designs in the merch store. I'm also looking for a new design from anybody. If you have a design, if you've got something that you've designed and you'd like to see it on one of our merchandise, at this point in time, I'm taking submissions, and I'm going to, for a month, for this whole next month, I'm taking submissions for artwork. And at the end of the month, I will select the artwork that I will use, and we will put it on a shirt, and therefore your shirt can be, your design can be put on DMT World shirt to be sold out of our merch and our merch store. So with that being said, if you have anything that you would like to submit for that possible picking of a design, you can send it to me at HappyKB on Discord, or you can send it to me on DMT World through the message system, or you can send me an email at kb@dmtworld.net. If you know me on Facebook, you can send it to me that way. However you can get it to me, you can get it to me. But again, I will be, for the next month, accepting submissions. By the end of next month, I will go through them. I will pick the one that I will use, and then I will correspond with that person, and we'll work that out to get that on a shirt so we can get that designed. What I do ask is that you send me a file that's a PNG file of the artwork. And then we'll see what we can do and get your design on there. I will give you credit on the shirt that it is designed by you. But just so you know, any of the designs that do come in that we put on merchandise for DMT World, all proceeds do go to DMT World. But like I said, I will put your name on it as the designer and give you credit for it. So with that being said, I would like to say, I run the YouTube channel for DMT World, and I'm always looking for other things to post on there. If anybody has anything that they want me to post on the YouTube channel for DMT World, I would be happy to do it. All I would need is the original, like the original video, so I could upload it, but that is something I'm willing to do. You got a story you want to tell? You're going to read something? At one point in time, I think one of our community members had written something and then read it, like a poem. I had somebody, I think we had somebody at one point in time that was interested in reading, like Alice in Wonderland. I don't think we ever got that out to anybody or anywhere. So, like, if you've got some, you got music, or you don't, you know, you don't have an outlet to put that stuff on, or you want to use the DMT World outlet to do it, like, that'd be great. I have no problem. I'd be more than happy to share what people in the community are doing on my YouTube, or our YouTube. I don't want to say mine, because it's not just mine, it's ours, it's the community's. So one of the things I do on there is I have a public playlist that I try to put people who are in our community on that playlist, and it's a public playlist that if somebody ever got saucy and was like, I want to see what they're listening to or what they got on this playlist, they come across people like Alex or Madness or I don't know, there's a few other people that I know are on YouTube that I follow, that I'm always posting their stuff in my playlist. But like I said, if you've got anything that you would like me to post on YouTube through the DMT World YouTube, just let me know. To make it legal, make it within the guidelines of what YouTube is, but let me know. Let's talk and figure out. I have no problem. I wanna promote you all just as much as we're promoting the site. So, because we don't have a site if we don't have community members, and vice versa. So let's do that. I will let you know, since I had mentioned the merch store earlier, we do have a merchandise store. And if you would like to visit the merchandise store, it is on Spring, Teespring. It used to be called Teespring. It's now just Spring. The website is https /// DMT World. It's actually dmt-world-2.creator-spring.com. You can also just go to Teespring and put in DMT World, and it'll pop up the merch store. You can go to the DMT World website, and you can go to the group merch store, and you can get that that way. There's places in DMT World in the merch area that has all the links to what I've put in there. So you can make it to the merch store. Check it out. I'm always trying to put new product in there. But again, like I said, if somebody wants to submit something, we'll see what we can do. So with that being said, check. I don't know why I say that a lot. With that being said. I think I need to quit saying that. With that being said. So, yeah. Interesting. So, just to let you know, today is the 30th. This Friday, which is May 3rd, we will have a roundtable talk. So, we missed it the last week because I was in Ann Arbor, and Nobody else got on and did it. So this Friday, May 3rd, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, because I'm in Kansas, in the Psychonaut Only voice channel, you must be a Psychonaut donor to participate in this. So this is another incentive to be a Psychonaut donor on our Patreon. That way you can come and you can be a part of the roundtable talks. This week's topic will be the future of psychedelics. I want to talk about where we all think this is all moving towards. And so those of you, if you're like, I don't know exactly what to talk about, or I don't know what to do, or get online, do some research. There's a whole ton of stuff out there. Just find some different stuff you guys want to talk about. None of us are professionals. None of us are like, well, some of us are professionals. I'm not a professional. Some of us don't have all the like book education, but we've all been doing this long enough, guys, that we can have these conversations. Some of you have more knowledge than I do. Some of you don't have much and will have questions. So like, let's do some research and see what we can sit and we can find to talk about. Because I think the future of psychedelics is a very interesting topic at this point in time, because I have a lot of mixed feelings going forward with the directions of some of the stuff that I'm seeing. So I'm going to sit and talk about it with you guys. Again, Friday, March 3rd, 8 o'clock, Central Standard Time. Psychonaut Only channel. If you want to be a donor, go to patreon.com/DMTWorld and you can donate. So at this point in time, it is time for Rabbit Tales. Rabbit Tales has become the area and the time where I go to DMT World and I find a trip report. And this has probably been one of the most fun things I've been doing lately, is going in and reading this, because I don't normally read trip reports. I don't know if I think I said that in the last episode, but I don't read trip reports usually, especially around the times when I'm tripping, because I don't want the influence into my trips to be off that. So, but I've not been tripping lately because I just don't have any time. So I'm enjoying diving into the DMT trips and reading them for you, and getting to experience them. It's really fun. So this one that I'm about to read is interesting. So I hope you enjoy it. This trip report from April 26, 2022, and this was in the category of the DMT. This trip report is called The Zillion-Eyed Octopus. The first thing that happened was I left this place, and I entered a different world in all directions. As far as I could see were colors and shapes that made what looked like an enormous, expansive, fractalized, moving, ever-changing, and evolving rainbow city. Much of it looked like moving, churning fractals, growing 5D structures of language. I say 5D because they contain an extra dimension. They came out of themselves because themselves manifested and then folded back into themselves. Every unit of geometric color in the magnificent multidimensional landscape were individually conscious. They all mirrored one another while simultaneously being their own entity, but were also physically connected as one continuous structure. I was moving through this space very rapidly until I came to the core of this gigantic and impossible structure. The core was more of the same, but even more wondrous and magnificent in how it all wove together. Everything on a larger scale was doing the same churning, emanating and reconsuming, devouring itself while also giving birth to itself. It took a long time for me to really register what I was looking at, because each of these fractal bits were symbols, like religious symbols. I clearly remember seeing the Star of David. There were also strips of languages manifesting into long patterns again and again, and I had this sense that each letter was a sentient unto itself. The landscape came into the center, forming a column like in a toroidal field, and it towered up above me as I looked up. I saw a massive box or a chamber. It was black, and it had what were shaped like starfish or spoked wagon wheels. They were made up of the same kinds of things as the landscape, but I could sense that these were fractal-sized consciousnesses that all made up a single rainbow starfish. I looked at one and in its center and where the spoke met, and it made a naked lady floating in purple fire. And she had wings and a head made of concrete circular discs covering in eyeballs. Then I noticed there was a towering independent being that was separate from the structure of everything else. And instead of being rainbow colored, he was made of blacks and dark browns, ambers and oranges. He was completely a humanoid in shape, but made of complex moving fractal geometries that churned and spiraled all through and around him. He had gigantic, beautiful wings and a head like a starfish lady. I could feel his gaze pierce into my soul. And he said, "This is not for everyone. You have been selected." And as he picked me up like a defenseless baby and put me inside that big black box structure, a circular doorway opened up and gold gleamed from inside of it and swallowed me. My body was gone, but I was there. It was simultaneously black, but there was also impressions and sensations, hundreds of trillions of them. What was it like inside was like being in the nerve center of all existence, as if every consciousness were hardwired into feeding it data in real time. The motherboard. Source. I wasn't alone in there. Something was with me as soon as I realized that this absolutely gigantic, multi-dimensional, rainbow, fractalized octopus appeared. It's all that there was, and its billion eyes and a billion arms were swafting through the emptiness, collecting data, and each individual node along its being were made up of trillions and trillions of consciousness. The tentacles curled and fractalized like a feedback loop, and then suddenly, it was as if its eyes came square upon mine, and they were my eyes, and everything became like two mirrors facing each other. In every direction, as far as I could see, was an infinity self-nesting series of reflections of my eyes staring back at me. It made shapes in structures of reflections, like the exchange of ions between the radio belts of magnetism, feedback loops like infinity symbols. The multidimensional octopus burped me out of his box. As I left him, I crossed rays of rainbow lights, red, orange, yellow, etc., laid out before me like a bridge, and at the end of the bridge, I was in blackness. The massive humanoid angel who put me in, I was in his arms again, like a baby. He laid me down on the cold black in a fetal position, weeping. I looked back at him, and while the landscape was all black, the large structure of the box was still there, sitting on a column of light emanating from nothing. The door had closed and twisted into a lock, and the angel stood at its entrance. He gave me a pep talk for a while, personal things about my human life. While he spoke, a tree grew from a small ray of sourcelessness light right before me. I sat up, pulling myself together from the trauma I had just experienced. Taking in what he had to tell me, the tree got bigger and bigger. It glowed with a golden haze just as its fruit grew, ripened, and the first one dropped, just as it would have hit that black nothing. I was in my living room again, my girlfriend holding my head in her lap, playing with my hair, and I was weeping. I love them. I love them all so very much. It's kind of fun. I got a ferret scratching on my door. Hang on just a minute. She needs in. We lost one of our ferrets. She passed away. My ferrets are pretty old. I think we're on seven or eight years. That's pretty long for a ferret. We had Janice who passed away a couple weeks ago. And then we have Ruffles. Ruffles owns my daughter, and Janice owned my son, and it was really sad because when she passed away. But we were with her the whole time and kept her comfortable and stayed with her so she knew she wasn't alone. But it was really hard. We're really attached to our ferrets. They've been through us through thick and thin, and they're super fun. Ruffles, it's really kind of sad because we always think, oh, we're, she lost her companion. Like, they were, we bought them together. We got them. They were not from the same litter because they're two different types of ferrets. But, like, they were thick as thieves and loved each other. And it was just kind of sad. Kind of sad when your pets lose their, they weren't boy and girl, but they were two girls and they were sisters. And it makes me feel bad sometimes because I think, oh, you poor little ferret, you don't have your other person to go snuggle with. And so we show some extra love and care to Ruffles because she's an old lady. She was actually older than my other one. But she's faster than Speedy Gonzales. In fact, that's what we probably should have named her. But my daughter actually named her off of a British spy. Was named, no, not spy, a British thief, sorry, was had the name of Ruffles, and that's what she wanted to name them. And Ruffles is true to her nature because she likes to steal things. She goes and takes things and goes and hides them, and we'll go find them and go put them back out, and she goes and takes them and hides them again. These two, and I've had a ferret before. The first ferret I had was when I lived in Chicago, and his name was Rufus, and he was adorable. He was cute. We loved him. He got really big too. But yeah, I like ferrets. They're got a special place in my heart. Ferrets do. So, let's see. Well, there was something else I was going to talk to you guys about, and I don't remember. I don't know. I will let you know, since we are sitting in 2023, we are in an election year, and obviously we all can see it because we see all the weird stuff that's happening on social media, all the stuff that's happening in the ether, people talking about, we've got protests happening, it's like history repeating itself, like we're seeing some of the same stuff. With that being said, see, there it is. I said it again. Dang it. You guys could play a drinking game with how many times I say, with that being said. Oh, see, you got to do it again. with that being said, I did that on purpose. Okay. With the censorship stuff, I have noticed on Facebook, especially, we are being censored again. I have known several people who are being shadow banned. I got lots of people who accounts have been taken down or have been in, Facebook jail because of things that they said a couple years ago. They're going real deep in our groups, and they're trying to find anything and everything to ping you on in the DMT Facebook group. They're going through all of our stuff, trying to tell me that stuff violates the community standards, which I don't... community standards now, because they're constantly always changing them, updating them. Now, that's... Okay, that's the right of Meta. That's their right, because it's a privately owned company, I guess. That's what people like to tell me. You know, whatever, it's fine. Same rules apply to us. You know, it's a private owned company, blah, blah, we can do whatever we want. But here's the deal. We don't go on and constantly updating our rules. We're not constantly updating our community standards. What they're doing is they're updating stuff so it purposely, stuff in the past is violated, and they can go in and they can find it and they can get rid of it. It's a bunch of BS. It's crap. It's just a way that the government can help manipulate, and Zuckerberg, you know, is right up the ass of the government. So it's one of those things we've got to deal with. Oh, what was I saying before I went on a tangent? Is the whole reason 5 years ago 5 years ago. Wow. That's perspective. The whole reason 5 years ago we went to DMT World, we went to our website. If you've been listening this whole time, you've actually, very first episode of my Rambling Rabbit, I went into detail in this. But for those of you, to remind you why we've done these, we are where we're at, is because, the heck is that? We were being censored. DMT World Facebook group is the oldest Facebook group on DMT Facebook group. Okay? Been around like 17, 18 years. And it was under a different name. When they tried to shut us down, it was because of community standards, saying that we had violated all this stuff, and we had to go in and we had to clean it all up and, you know, take it all out, blah, 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 blah. So, Wurditz was very smart. He got on. He was like, hey, and he petitioned. He went and said, look, this has been around this long. Why all of a sudden everything is a violation? Like, what's the deal? So they told, you know, we got it reinstated, obviously, because it's still up and running. But that was when he made the determination that we needed to have a place that was not going to censor us, that we could openly talk about substances and how to do them, where, what, who, what, when, where, and why, just not how to get them legally, illegally. And so that's when DMT World was born, the idea, because of the censorship 5 years ago that was taking place. And here we are again. Here we are again, looking at the same stuff. Same stuff. Community standards. They're going to shut us down. I'll also tell you guys, if you're talking in your Facebook Messenger, I don't know how much you guys care. It's completely up to you. I don't care. What you're doing on your social media world is completely up to you. But this is what I'm going to tell you. If you're doing business of any time, of any kind in Messenger systems, you need to know that none of that stuff is private. Even with Facebook saying that their message system is encrypted, they still have access to everything in your Messenger system. Just so you know. And anything done in the Messenger system, legal. If it's on Facebook and authorities show up and they want that information, Facebook will give them all the information. And even if your two-party system is encrypted on their Facebook Messenger, that means they still have it, though. So just be mindful of what business that you're doing on Facebook and Messenger, like anywhere else. Just be cautious, be mindful. There's nowhere that's 100% safe, but Facebook is the least one that I would be doing some of my back talking stuff with, but that's just me. I just want you guys to be safe, okay? Don't fall for the scams. Every Telegraph group is not legit. Like, just be safe out there. We want to make sure that people are getting good things, getting and not getting scammed. So if you don't want to listen to what I say, that's fine. I don't mind. It's okay. I just want you guys to be safe and be careful. There's a lot of crappy people out there that are willing to take your money and run. And don't give two shits about you. So, I care. I care about you. Be safe, people. Again, what was I trying to say? Gosh, I haven't even been spoken today. With the censorship, we're going to see an uptick on the website. We're going to see an uptick happening because some places are in panic mode because, like I said, stuff is getting taken down. They're going through and their whole things again. Blah, 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 blah. Community standards. I'm not sure about Meta. We're shadow banned on Meta. Like, we're not getting all of our stuff out there because they don't like our name. They say it's a violation. So it's whatever. So anybody that is actually already following our Instagram will see our posts, but new people won't see it in their feeds unless somebody shares it or whatnot. So if you're on Instagram and you are a follower of our page, please, please, please share our stuff. Like our stuff. Get it out there because they are shadow banning us. I can't even get my merch stuff linked on there because they're mad at me because they don't like the name. So it's whatever. I'm beyond it. That's why I have my own website. Well, friends, I think I talked to you about all the things that were on my list to talk to you about. At the end of these, I always sit and think, nobody sits and listens to this. Nobody sits and listens to you blabble on, KB. And I'm just like, eh, whatever. It's good for me, though. It's like therapy. I don't go to therapy. I've never been to therapy. Never seen a counselor. In fact, one of the things my mom said to me one time was, there's one thing that she will never do. And I asked her, what was that? And she said, give you advice. And I thought, wow, this woman knows me so well. But I don't, I've never, yeah. I use music as my therapy. I have Fridays where I go and sing my face off until I can't sing anymore. And The Rambling Rabbit. I didn't realize that this podcast actually would mean so much to me. I didn't realize that I would like doing it as much as I do. Because it is kind of a therapeutical thing. Like, I sit and I think about, during the week, things that I come across on the platforms or stuff that's going on in the world. Or, you know, like, I saw the thing about the AI foraging mushroom book that Amazon is promoting and selling, and the articles about how the misinformation in the AI, that the AI provided for this foraging book. We have young people who are just now getting into some of this. We can't be having material out there like that. It's going to kill some of these people. Gosh, that stuff scares me. That scares me a lot. So, like, when I see those things, I don't have a lot of people that I talk to in real life. Shocker, right? No. A lot of us don't have people in real life we talk to. And so, like, there's a lot that goes on in my brain that I want to get out and just blah, 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 blah. And so this podcast really helps me in that fashion. I seem to be very emotional today, so I apologize for that. But I care about the podcast. I care about the community. I think I care about it more than you guys actually absolutely know. But I do. I care about all of you. Care about what we're doing here. And because of that, that's why until I die, DMT World's gonna exist. And I don't plan on dying anytime soon, friends. One more time. With that being said, I hope you guys are good and drunk by the time this episode's over. With that being said, I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Again, sorry I got a little weepy. Got a little emotional. My heart's a little tender at times. So I hope you enjoyed it. And keep ascending, friends.